We're glad for your presence this morning. We have those visiting with us today, and we're so glad that you've come to be with us. We hope you feel benefited for having worship with us today and be inclined to come back if you have the opportunity to do that. This evening at the 5 o'clock hour, J.T. Fannin is going to be speaking for us. He's come several Sunday evenings and delivered some very good lessons from the book of Psalms, talking about our worship of God. And he's going to be back this evening to do that, so hope you all can be here to hear that. We are in the Gospel of Mark again this morning, and we'll be reading chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. This is the final healing miracle in Jesus' ministry. His miracles began well north in Palestine, in a little village next to Nazareth called Cana, more than 3 years before this, where he turned water into wine. Jesus' miracles of healing end now with him giving sight to a blind man. All of it began in the north, in a village atop the Sea of Galilee, and it ends in the south, in Judea, in the historically significant town of Jericho, in the lowlands atop the Dead Sea. Jesus has filled, literally, the land of Israel from top to bottom with signs and wonders and mighty deeds, displaying his deity before all. So let's read the account here of Jesus' final healing miracle. Now they came across to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Those of you who have been studying along with us in Mark's Gospel know that Jesus had been ministering in Perea. That's a region east of the Jordan River, down in the south, next to the Dead Sea. Coming out of Perea now, traveling east to west, the first town that he would come to of any note would be Jericho. Jericho was situated in elevation or altitude some 800 feet below sea level. Jesus and his disciples, with a multitude now, were going to Jerusalem. That sits up on Mount Zion, 3,500 feet in altitude above Jericho. From Jericho, it is the direct ascent for the 15 miles into Jerusalem. The text indicates to us that there is a large crowd following with Jesus and his disciples. This is the time of the Passover. Some of these are undoubtedly following Jesus because they know about him. Others are just on their way to the Passover. This was an occasion when tens of thousands of people, perhaps even hundreds of thousands, would come to Jerusalem. Some conjecture that Jerusalem during the Passover would triple its population. Many of these people would pass by Jericho. Those coming from the north would come down on the eastern side of the Jordan River in order to avoid going through Samaria and any encounter with those half-breed Jews who lived there. And these people would then cross over the Jordan towards Jericho and from there make their way up in the climb up towards Jerusalem. Diaspora Jews from the far east would make their way toward Jericho, it being their entry point toward Jerusalem. Our Lord has just concluded a period of about 6 months preaching, teaching, and healing in Perea. And now he crosses over the Jordan, perhaps in some kind of a ferry or a raft. Passover is in the spring. So the snow would have melted in the north in the mountains of Lebanon near Caesarea Philippi. And they would have filled up the Sea of Galilee to the brim, and the Jordan would be quite swollen at this time. This is a story that occurs in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. And it is a story that has been a source of some difficulty as far as harmonizing the three accounts. The story here in verse 46 in Mark's account has Jesus leaving Jericho when he comes across the blind beggar Bartimaeus. But in Luke's gospel, it appears that he's coming into Jericho, not leaving. Unbelievers have said for years that this is one of the many contradictions found in the Bible. However, as we look into the discrepancy that seems to exist here, we learn from both history and archaeology that there were actually two Jerichos in Jesus' day. If you go there today, you will actually find that there are three. There was the old Israelite Jericho, the site that Joshua marched around, which William Lane says in the New International Commentary that at the time of Jesus it was much deteriorated and dilapidated. And then there was a flourishing Roman Jericho built about a mile away from that original site near this Roman road that Jesus would have been traveling. And thus Mark may be telling us that Jesus was leaving the old Jericho, and Luke may be telling us that he was entering the new Jericho. Lane suggests that the healing may have taken place as Jesus traveled between the two cities, and that would seem to be the explanation. Today there is a modern city of Jericho where people live and work. Joy and I were privileged to go to the region of Jericho some 25 years ago. And we saw that city that's the modern Jericho. And of course we saw the remains of those other cities too. And just to make things interesting for us, Matthew's account mentions two blind men, neither of which is named in his account. Mark is the only one who gives us the name of one of these two men, Bartimaeus. And this is the one on whom Jesus seems to have concentrated, though both of those blind men were healed. Verse 46 tells us that Bartimaeus was sitting by the road begging. And with all the travelers passing by at this time, this may have been a real benefit to him. He might make enough money during this time of Passover to last him for several weeks, perhaps even months. This is how he lived. So picture him. He's sitting beside the roadside, probably has a cloak, a garment of some kind, and part of it is stretched out on the ground, and on it perhaps some coins that passersby have thrown down. But there are hundreds coming by, thousands going to Jerusalem. Jesus was going through Jericho. He's not intending to stay there, although from Luke's account we learn that he did stay long enough apparently to spend an evening and the night and long enough to speak a parable about a man who was given 10 coins. This same occasion of Jesus passing through Jericho is where Jesus met the tax collector named Zacchaeus. People know about Jesus. People knew about Jesus then, and there were so many trying to see him, Luke chapter 19 tells us, that Zacchaeus, being short of stature, had to climb a sycamore tree to see him. And then Jesus saw Zacchaeus up in the tree and told him to come down because he was coming to his house to stay. But this blind beggar is sitting by the road. In verse 47, he overhears the conversation of the people around him, and the conversations are about Jesus of Nazareth, or as some translations say, Jesus the Nazarene. And what he hears is that Jesus of Nazareth is in Jericho. I wonder how much he knew about Jesus. He certainly knew something. Had he heard stories about a miraculous birth 30 years ago? Had he heard that at the age of 12, Jesus of Nazareth, as a boy, had come down to Jerusalem and gone to the temple and astonished the scribes and the teachers? Had he heard perhaps that up north in Galilee, Jesus had called 12 disciples together, and they had been following him, and they traveled throughout the regions of Galilee and performed astonishing miracles? Had he heard any bits of what Jesus had taught in the Sermon on the Mount? Or how he on one occasion had walked on the Sea of Galilee and stilled a storm? Or had he heard that in Bethesda some people there had brought a blind man to Jesus, and Jesus had spit on his eyes and the man had been healed? We don't know what he had heard about Jesus. But whatever he has heard, he knows who he is, or who he claimed to be. Luke tells us in Luke 18, verse 36, that Bartimaeus hears the crowd going by, and he asks them what is happening. And they tell him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And so he realizes that now this man, Jesus of Nazareth, about whom he has heard something, is right there, apparently almost in front of him. He could hear the crowds, and within a stone's throw, this miracle worker from up north in Galilee is right there. He can't see him, but he knows from the crowd that a moment has come. Jesus is passing him by. He may never pass by again. It's an opportunity for him to do something, to say something. And so he shouts out to him, not Jesus of Nazareth, but this: Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. We'll give you just a minute here. Somebody's tending to Ariel back there, it looks like. Let's give them just a moment to see if they can and help us. Okay. Appreciate y'all's patience, and we appreciate you all helping over there very, very much. We'll be through here in just a little bit. We don't know how this man became blind, whether he was born blind, like the man in John chapter 9, or whether blindness came to him because of an accident or some disease. We do know this. Blind people in Jesus' time were pretty much reduced to begging. Because if you were blind, in their theology, their religious thinking, it was because you were cursed. You were under divine judgment of some kind. You were blind because God was punishing you. Remember in John chapter 9, the disciples asked, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And so this blind man would be alienated, ostracized by his fellows, under a divine curse by their assessment. And thus, he would need to be begging. And as we said, Matthew tells us that there was another blind man there, a second one. It's not surprising that they would have found each other and tried to help each other. Mark gives us the name of the one, Bartimaeus. Some believe that his name was given by Mark because others, by the time Mark wrote his gospel, would have known this man by name, and that he had become a person who was known in the early church. But he shouts in verse 47, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The word for shout or cry out is the Greek word charazō. It's a very strong word. It's a word used in Mark 5 to speak of demon-possessed people crying out. It means to scream in anguish and desperation. This man's trying to be heard over the noise of the crowd. Jesus was the name everybody knew. It was the name that he was given at birth because he would save his people from their sins. The word Joshua is the word Jesus. And he would say, it means that God saves, or God saves, Jehovah saves. Son of David was different. It was a messianic title. And the blind man knew what it was. The Messiah was to be heir of David's throne, according to 2 Samuel chapter 7. The Messiah would receive the kingdom that had been promised to a son of David. This was the most common Jewish title for the Messiah, Son of David. And that's why when the genealogy of Joseph is given in Matthew chapter 1, it shows that he, Joseph, comes from the family of David. And it's why when the genealogy of Mary is given in Luke, it shows that she comes from the line of David. Both Jesus' earthly father and his true mother were in the line of David. Jesus is truly a son of David. But more than that, he is the son of David. That's the messianic title at its purest. When the birth of Jesus was announced to Mary in Luke chapter 1, the angel says to Mary, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So what is this blind man saying when he shouts out, Jesus, Son of David? He's acknowledging Jesus as Messiah. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He wasn't asking for alms. Some in the crowds passing by have likely given him alms. He wants a blessing from this man called Jesus. He has some understanding of the powerful claims he's made and the many stories of his healing that after 3 years has spread throughout all of Palestine. And he cries out to this one who is so close in proximity, Jesus, please pity me. And by the way, to show you how he would be treated in that society, we see in verse 48 that his pitiful cry elicits no sympathy whatsoever from those in the crowds. It says, then many warned him to be quiet. That was the attitude of the people who heard him. Sternly telling him, forcefully telling him, be quiet. Somebody quiet that man down. They had disdain for blind beggars. He was an outcast, not worthy of being considered. But their contempt and derision and their reproof had no effect on him whatsoever. Verse 48 says, but he cried out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. New American Standard says he kept crying out all the more. The American Standard says he cried out the more a great deal. The implication is that he kept shouting this over and over. Bartimaeus knew the claims of Jesus. He believed the claims he had made. And he simply refused to let this opportunity pass him by. This man cried out to Jesus more than once. I don't know whether Jesus didn't hear him on the first shout or what. It seems that he would have. We're told the man was screaming. From all that we see in the passage, he was belting it out at the top of his lungs. He wanted to be sure Jesus heard him. If Jesus heard him, apparently he didn't respond right away. Verse 49 says, so Jesus stood still. Other versions say, and Jesus stopped. Imagine if this were a movie and the camera would now be fixed on Jesus' feet, because all of a sudden he's come to a halt. And all the people who are following him along out of Jericho and to Jerusalem have likewise come to a standstill. The cry of this desperate man has brought Jesus to a stop. The Lord of glory, the Son of David, is standing still for this man. Our brother L.A. Stopher writes in his commentary, the cry of the blind man still seated alongside the road could still be heard in the distance above the din of a traveling multitude that accompanied Jesus. Following several rebukes by the crowd, the continued shout, Thou Son of David, caught the attention of the Messiah. The Greek term translated Jesus stood still describes a sudden decisive moment when Jesus stopped and now spoke to the crowd behind or near Bartimaeus. When Jesus stopped, when Jesus stood still, he then commanded the man to be called. There is no word for commanded in the original. It actually is an order given by Jesus to the crowd. And so your translation likely says, Jesus said, call him. So the crowd follows Jesus' order, verse 49. They called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. Moulton, in his word study, says the word for be of good cheer is a verb of courage, boldness, which conveys to Bartimaeus an expectation that something good is about to happen. The New American Standard says, take courage. The English Standard Version says, take heart. Rise is another order they gave him, which shows that he had remained seated along the road. Rise, he is calling you. And how does Bartimaeus respond? Verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. He rose from the place where he was sitting. That word rose in the New King James is a rather mild rendering of the Greek there. The word in the Greek is a strong term which portrays the excitement that Bartimaeus felt and the haste with which he came to Jesus. And so your translation most likely says he threw off his coat and jumped up or sprang up and came to Jesus. Now, of course, he needed help of others to find Jesus. Verse 51, so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? I think we all would suspect that undoubtedly Jesus knew what the blind man wanted. The answer to that was obvious. This man wasn't looking for alms of mercy, which he could receive from other passersby. Jesus, even without his divine insight, could have known what this man wanted. He wants Bartimaeus to vocalize his request. And for those of you who have been studying along with us, and were here last Sunday when we talked about the previous event, do you realize that that's the exact question that Jesus asked of James and John when they came to him, which we studied in our last lesson? When James and John took Jesus aside, he asked them, what do you want me to do for you? What did they want? They wanted to be elevated. They wanted to be on his right hand and on his left when he established his kingdom. This man knows he's an outcast. He only wants mercy. And so he answers Jesus, verse 51, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Luke's gospel has him saying, Lord, Lord, that I may receive my sight, from the Greek word kurie. Mark translates the Aramaic title Rabboni, which is a term of respect addressed to teachers of the law and others in position of rank and authority. Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was as Son of David and Messiah, and in that he would view him as both Lord and teacher. Teacher, that I may receive my sight. Literally, receive sight, translated from one word in the Greek, anablepo, ana meaning again, and blepo meaning to see. See again. That's what he wished. Well, he's answered Jesus' question. He's made his request. And what happened? Verse 52. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. The healing was immediate. And Jesus wanted him to know it was because of his faith in the Savior. The faith of this blind man brought about his sight because it was a specific kind of faith. It was a faith that was determined to reach Jesus. It was a faith that knew who Jesus was, the Son of David. It was a faith that approached Jesus humbly, have mercy on me. Instantly, Bartimaeus received his sight. And Jesus then told him, go your way. But he decided to follow Jesus on the road. Luke adds that as he followed Jesus, he glorified God, and he says all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Bartimaeus made Jesus' way his own way. This was especially significant when we understand where Jesus was going at this time. He was going to Jerusalem, where a cross waited for him. Bartimaeus must have figured, now that I have my sight, I always want to look upon Jesus. This is the final healing miracle of Jesus' personal ministry. There will be more miracles, but none of healing. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and this now seeing blind man is with him. Of course, Jesus came primarily to heal. He came to heal, but he came to heal every man's disease of the soul. That's why Jesus came to this earth. And we all need that healing. And we can have it if we will come to him, humbly confessing our sins, repenting, and obeying him in baptism. And if you should be here this morning, ready to do that today, he stands ready to receive you, and so do we as we stand and sing our song.
Here's the fall.